All right, folks, it is so good to see you. Welcome to the cafe. I hope you brought yourself a high C or go buy a cup of coffee or something like that. I think the coffee's free out in the hall, right? Well, you've seen me teach lessons for many years, and you saw me preach for a few years. Starting today for 11 weeks, or for 12 weeks, we're going to do this a little different. We're going to do this like I'm sitting down with you like Jesus did for 3 years with his disciples and all of those who followed him around. And we're just going to have conversations, just talking about the things that Jesus would have said and what Jesus wanted people to know. And we're going to do these lessons the way Jesus did his lessons. After 3 years, his disciples were all ready to go out and to make disciples in the world, and that is exactly what he did with them. I know some of y'all in here have been believers for many, many years. I've been a believer for 48 years. Now, based on the premise that you've just accepted the Lord, about a year and a half ago, I wrote about 90% of a little pamphlet that we have here at the church that is called Starting Points. And in Starting Points, it's the beginning of a relationship with Christ, and every person who accepts the Lord as their Savior is handed one of these books. When I was 11 years old and I accepted the Lord as my Savior, I was at a Baptist church in Waxahachie, and I remember walking down to the front and telling Brother Tulloch that I had accepted the Lord as my Savior. And they had me sit down and fill out a little card after he prayed with me. And then I stood up, and everybody in the church, I think all 550 were there that day, because they came by and I had to shake every one of their hands. They all welcomed me to the church. Did they do that for y'all? Yeah. And you know, there was a sad moment in that for me. As the last person trailed out of the auditorium, I was standing there by myself at the Lord's Supper table with an empty auditorium and just me standing there. And I thought, boy, I'm so excited about this, but what do I do now? Where do I go? What do I do? A few years later, in January, in fact, January the 20th of 1974, I accepted my first church to be the part-time minister of music, part-time minister of youth, part-time minister of activities. You know how part-times are. I wasn't even out of high school yet. It was my senior year. I was still a senior. It was January the 20th, which if you add up, that means I've just finished my 40th year in the ministry. And am I that old? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And the little church held about 60 to 80 people is what was there to begin with. We actually grew that first 10 months that I was there to about 120, but about 60 there. And I remember the very first day the choir had all gone out. We had a person who accepted the Lord, and they were down at the Lord's Supper table in front of the pulpit. And everybody went by and gave them the right hand of Christian fellowship. And I was cleaning up the choir loft, and lo and behold, I turned around, and that person that accepted the Lord was just standing there by themselves. And I remember looking around, and they said, "Now what do I do?" I didn't know what to tell them. And so many of you have heard this testimony. I, over all these 40 years, I knew that we were missing the boat, because every one of us accepts the Lord, and we get all excited, and then we don't have any direction to go. This is very easy. It's a page and a half per day. The first day after you're saved, like on the first day, you learn about praying, because that's the first thing you need to do. The first thing you need to do is learn to pray. The second day, I tell you about how to learn. In fact, all that's written there is right there. It's got some verses, and then it's got some things for you to go look up and answer for yourself. The third day is about connecting with other Christians. That, just a little bit written, and some things for you to fill in, to think about. The fourth day is about serving, about getting involved in what God's doing. The fifth day is about learning to give, getting ready to give out of what the Lord's giving you and what He wants you as one of His new disciples to be a part of His organization that we call the church, believers, about giving. And on the sixth day, we talk about worshiping, and that prepares you to come on the seventh day back to the church the next Sunday and really worship. It's a great little booklet to hand to somebody when they've accepted the Lord and now they've got something to do every single day until they show back up at church the next week. Well, on top of that now is the first little bit deeper study. You hold in your hand this booklet, which is three lessons. Now, folks, I'm going to give out three lessons at a time. There are 12 lessons, and so as we go through, I will hand you a different booklet as we go through these lessons. So there'll be three more booklets coming to you. I did not want to print them all at one time. It would be a very heavy book to carry around. I started to do that, and I decided, no, I'll print them in three lessons at a time. They'll be much easier for you to take and to carry around. And you're welcome to these, and if we need to print some more up, we can print them. And so with the starting points and with this new booklet that we have, these lessons that we do are very, very simple. But it's as the front of the booklet says, it's the stuff you need to know, and you will want me to put a bunch of meat on this information. This is not meat, folks. This is not a lot of meat. This stuff is just simple stuff that I have learned through the years that I wish I'd have known when I was 11 or maybe even when I was 8 or whether I was 80. Our editors who edited this, each one of them said, I wish I had known this when I was a child, when I accepted the Lord. It would have made growing up and facing life's challenges so much easier. And so we're just going to hit what a brand spanking new believer, a new disciple, could handle. You can't handle all the meat. In fact, Paul talks about we're supposed to feed them milk until they can handle meat, and this is just milk. So we're doing it with you so that you can ask questions and maybe give an insight, and you are free to ask questions. Just raise your hand. And in this class, I'm going to repeat so that people who are listening to the tape on the video will be able to hear the question and also hear my answer if we have it. So where do we start? Well, very interesting for us to how we start. Getting started. This first lesson is about getting started. Where do you start? Well, you've just started because you've accepted the call of the Holy Spirit to accept Jesus as your Savior. So let me tell you a little bit. Just across the coffee here as we're talking. Jesus, after He had died and risen from the grave, told His disciples towards the end of the 40 days to go meet Him at one of their special places on one of their mountains that they love to sit at up at the Sea of Galilee. About 70 so miles or something from Jerusalem where He died. And so there towards the end of His 40 days, He met with them. And one of the last things that He said to them is something that we've called the Great Commission. He said to them, as you see here in your book, it's in red. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus told them to go make disciples and to teach them what He had taught them. Teach the new people what I've taught you. That's how discipling is done. Jesus taught His 12 and many others, and they were to go and to gather around them a few. I've got more than a few in here with y'all. I wish we could all sit across the table here in the cafe and just talk one-on-one, but here we're doing it in a group to teach you the things that Jesus taught. Now, you're going to understand this, that what we mean by this, of what Jesus taught as we get on through these lessons, because you're going to be amazed at the volume of what Jesus taught, not just the 3 years that he was here on earth, but even before that. So we basically go to this. You answered the call of the Holy Spirit to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Well, what does that mean? What in the world have you done by doing that? What have you done? The best thing you ever did. That's right, it is. Well, I'm going to help you here because I've given you some possible answers to the questions I'm fixing to ask. You ready for the answer? What does it mean and what have you done? It means that you have entered into an eternal, and you see the word one is capitalized, one-on-one. The uncapitalized one is you. Who is the capitalized one? God. One-on-one, blank, blank, with the God and creator of everything. What do you think the answer is? You are exactly right. It's the personal relationship with the God and the creator of everything. It's very important that you understand. We're talking about the God and creator of everything. Everybody who ever lived on this earth and grew to an age where they could make a decision on who they would worship has had the opportunity to choose the God, the creator of everything, or to reject him. That is one of the job descriptions of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about that in a minute again, and then we'll pass it on for another day. Number two, you have changed the blank blank of your life. Eternal direction. That is exactly right. You have a change for, you are not headed in the same direction that you were headed before you accepted Christ as your Savior. When we get down to the section where we're going to talk about when you were born and the way you grew up and the way you lived your early days before you knew the Lord, you will grow to understand exactly what I mean by an eternal new direction in your life. Number three, you have become His what? His disciple. That is correct. You're a follower of the Lord. You are under His tutelage. He is teaching you, and He's provided a path by which you can find that direction. Now, God has provided a path for all people, no matter who you are. God has provided this path. And when God created Adam and Eve, the very first man, He provided a decision path for them. And to this very day, from the day that God created Adam and Eve to today, not one single thing has changed in that path. It's always been exactly the same. In fact, I want to, if you look in your book here, we've got a diagram. And this diagram was established for the very first two humans, for Adam and Eve. It's also been established for you and for me. Sometime during every person's life, the point will come, as it says here, when he or she must make a choice to do one of two things. Either the choice is to spend eternity with God, or the choice is to spend eternity without God. Everyone makes that choice. Whether you're over in China, in Japan, in Korea, North Korea, South Korea, Thailand, Argentina, Chile, Brazil, Canada, Alaska, Louisiana, the foreign country of Louisiana, down in the bayou, wherever you're from, Florida, Hawaiian Islands, Argentina, Antarctica. If you live on the North Pole, sometime in your life, you come to the point where you're going to make a decision to either spend eternity with God or to spend eternity without God. Because you answered the call of the Holy Spirit to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're here and you've made the choice to spend eternity with God. That means both here on both in heaven and guess where we are? Here on earth. Now guess what? Living in heaven is going to be a whole lot easier than living here on earth. It's just a natural fact. Once you're in heaven, that's where you're bound because you accepted the Lord as your Savior. Life is going to be beautiful and wonderful and precious. Here on earth, we're still working through struggles. Working on struggles because here on earth, God designed it so that we have children. We have to get those children raised so that they have the opportunity to be His disciples. And as they are growing up, they have children, which are your grandchildren, which have to be raised. So they have the opportunity to accept the Lord, to be in heaven with Him for all eternity. And the cycle goes on and on and on. And within these people that are born, there are those who will accept Him and those who will reject Him. But as a disciple, you've accepted Him. So what does it mean when you say you answered the call of the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer goes like this. We will learn about that and the whys of that when we get to the lesson on the Holy Spirit. But for now, here's a very short answer just to answer that question that some of you may be asking. One job of the Holy Spirit is to offer salvation to every person who has ever lived on this earth. He points individuals to the Lord. That's His job. And each person must make a choice whether to accept the Lord or to reject the Lord. You, as a new disciple, a new believer, you've made the choice to accept the Lord. But what you have to understand, every new baby, every new child that you meet, and every person that you meet, you have to wonder and ask the question, have they accepted the Lord or have they rejected the Lord? So we ask the next question. How do you get started in this new life's direction? How do I do it? Where do I go from here? Okay, this 7 days ago you accepted the Lord and you've worked through these six little lessons and you've started praying, you've started worshiping, you've started serving, you've started trying to get connected, you've learned about giving. But where do we start? Yes, sir, Bob. How long will the Holy Spirit reside? The Holy Spirit will attempt to allow you to accept the Lord and bid you to accept the Lord until you take your last breath. And you have the opportunity to accept or reject until your last breath. After your last breath, you have rejected the Lord because you've rejected the calling of the Holy Spirit, by the way. There's some bigger words that we use in theology, and that's getting a little deeper than I want to get right now. But you don't want to reject the Holy Spirit's calling to accept the Lord as your Savior. But by the way, because you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, there's no turning back now. You belong to Him. We'll get to that another day. How do you get started in your new life's direction? Oh, it's very easy. You've already met Jesus. You already have Him as your Lord, and now He is your closest friend, even though you don't know it. I promise you, He's your closest friend. He knows everything about you from the beginning to the end. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows every mole you have on your body. He knows about your toes and your fingers and your eyes and your nose and your brain and your heart. Does He know about my cholesterol? Absolutely. He knows about all that. Now the deal is the way you get started is by learning about Him. He knows about you, and you need to know about Him. So you get started by learning what He has provided for us to know about Him so we can grow in that, remember I asked the question, personal relationship. That personal relationship where we learn, just like in a marriage, like my spouse, I know what she likes, I know what she desires, I know what she thinks, I know what she teaches, I know what she doesn't like, I know what she wants me to do. Same thing with the Lord. You really are still a baby in Christ until you know what He likes, what He desires for you, what He wants you to do, how He wants you to live, what He's teaching you, how to know these things. All about Him. And once you get a handle on God and the relationship with the Lord, then you're in a personal relationship. Whenever you come up against a struggle or a storm in your life, you know how He thinks about these things, and so you act accordingly. When you do something that you know He doesn't like, you already know that He's going to chastise you. But you know that when you do something that He likes and you do it the way He wants it to be done, He will bless you. That's just the way it is. And you think, wait a minute. How can I get to know the Lord? He's way up there in heaven and I'm down here on earth. We're worlds apart. Just worlds apart. Isn't that true? Well, no, it's not so. It's not so at all. The Lord has provided a way for you to get to know Him and to know what He wants you to do and how He wants you to live. He has provided an example for every single situation that you might encounter in what we call a Bible. He's provided it. You can know in every situation, once you know what He's taught, you know how to handle every circumstance that comes your way. Now, we call it the Bible. In the Bible, it's called God's Word. The Bible is, you're not going to find the word Bible in the Bible. It's called God's Word, and it gives us direction and guidance on any single path or any circumstance that we will find ourselves in. But you must know what's in here, or you must know where to find it in order to find His answer and to have His answer. And that is what I want you to learn in these lessons. The 11 lessons going to follow this one. Where do we find it? How do we know? Not in depth and detail, but how to get there and how to find it. Why do we want to do that? We want to do that for a very special reason. David, who wrote many songs, and those songs are called Psalms, and they're about halfway through the Old Testament is where they're placed. David says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's what this is. A lamp. You're not stumbling through your room in the dark through this world. It is a light, a lamp. It's lighting your way so that you can see where you're stepping. On top of that, David goes on to say this. He says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." Very interesting, folks. You can travel down a path and you can even say, I've decided this is what I want to do and I think God's behind me on this. Well, if you say that to me, bless my little family's heart and some of you who are around me quite often, I'll tell you a Bible story. And then I'll probably ask you, what do you think God thinks about your choice now? Is that something that God would be pleased with? Or is it something that God would be happy with? You can make your choices and you can believe the lies of the world that says, God made me this way. This is the way I think. This is what I'm going to, I am this way. So therefore, I'm going to live this way and do these things. But if I show you in God's Word the stories that He has told us that are point blank on the topic of what you're saying, and you say, ooh, God's not real happy with that. If you choose to go ahead and do it, you are in rebellion to God. Outright rebellion. So, the Bible, the Word of God, it really is your manual for living. And if you don't know it, it's time to start getting to know it. And that's what I hope we do in these lessons, just to give you a beginning spot. You say, okay, where do I begin reading to learn about God? Boy, do I wish I'd have known this when I was 11. You know, the next thing that happened after I got saved, we had an evangelist there. And the next night after I got saved, he started talking about the end times and Jesus coming. And the hell and Revelation, the hellfire and brimstone and all this type of stuff. And I just, you know, there are whole groups of people out there that have got so stuck on the end times, they're not dealing with the here and now. They're not dealing with all the life's lessons that are in the Bible. They're just looking for His coming. They want His return to come today. Yesterday would have been soon enough for them. They want to get on down. Well, I've got news for you. Some of those people are not going to be too excited whenever He shows up and they realize they've missed all the rewards that they could have had by really getting with people and taking them back where they can learn to live every day of their life. Some of the most bitter and angry and evil people I know are the people who know prophecy backwards and forwards, but they don't know the rest of the Bible. And you don't see fruit. You don't see the gentleness and the kindness and the love, the fruits of the Spirit that the Lord says the Holy Spirit will give you when you become His disciple. No, they go on down just being who they are, the way they used to be, and God's just going to have to accept you the way. That's not the way it should be as a disciple. So where do you begin reading to learn about God's Word? Well, you begin at the beginning. Isn't that a good place? Now, that's profound, isn't it? I wonder if they might give me the Nobel Peace Prize for figuring that out. So what is the best way to discover what God wants me to know about Him and how to live my life? What's the best way? Well, the best way is by learning what He said in the same order that He presented it to the world. The same order. What does that mean? What in the world is... What do you mean the same order? You know, we're down where we've got the whole thing. If you haven't got one of our 40-pound church Bibles, family Bibles that we give y'all, we're talking about the whole 40 pounds. You know, those big old white Bibles we give away. Some of y'all have got them. They're on the coffee table. You move them off the coffee table, there's a clean spot right there. Everything else is dirty. They've been laying in the same spot with the sun coming through, that there's a sunspot stain right there where it's been covering up. Is that what it used to look like, you say? Same order. Same order. What do you mean is same order? Well, in the beginning, God made it very, very simple for man and for woman, for Adam and for Eve. Very simple. So, God knew that the very first man and woman that He created could not handle things about rebuilding of the temple. They didn't even know anything about the temple, about the Ark of the Covenant. They couldn't understand about the last things, about the Lord coming on His horse, riding, and y'all coming on your white horses and the chariots and all of that. They couldn't understand about the splitting of the Red Sea. Why? Well, they're still naming the animals in the Garden of Eden. They're still trying to figure out, okay, you look like... elephant, and we're going to call you a horse. and you're going to be a quack, quack, a duck. Adam and Eve are naming these animals. When the Lord puts them in the Garden of Eden, He gives them two rules. Two simple, simple rules that they are to live by. Well, I've given you some possible answers here just to help you, those of you who are challenged just a little bit. There's two answers and two blanks. You ready? Adam, he says, your job is to take care of everything in the
garden.
You got it, in the Garden of Eden. Job, he gave Adam a job. You got to name the animals. You got to keep the garden clean. You got to tend the garden. Adam and Eve were just there. They were having a great time. They were just flitter-flitting around. They were taking care of business. I can just see Eve saying to Adam, Adam, go over there and make me a broom so we can sweep our spot out, okay? And we got to do laundry. You know they didn't have any laundry? You hadn't thought about that, did you? They didn't, no ironing, that's right. They didn't have it. Number two, Adam and Eve actually said it to Adam. He didn't say it to Eve. He actually said it to Adam before Eve was created. He says, you can eat from every fruit of every tree and every bush in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't eat of that tree. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Just two rules. Keep it clean. We say that to our teenagers, right? Keep it clean. And don't eat of that special fruit that we've got in the fridge over there. Don't eat of that. When you eat of it, you'll know about evil. And you know the difference between good and evil. Don't eat it. Don't you there. Can you imagine what it was like whenever they were just living together there? Adam and Eve are happily married in the garden, counting the animals, sweeping here, sweeping there. Think about the things they didn't have to do. No shopping for what? No shopping for groceries or clothing. That's exactly right. No school. No homework. Isn't it interesting? The answers are in the right order. Did you figure that out already? I made it simple for them. No what? No bills to pay. That's right. No bills to pay because the Lord has supplied all your needs. No need for what? Insurance. What was insurance? Do you think Adam and Eve needed insurance? Who was going to sue them? And who were they going to sue? It was a simple life, wasn't it? Who needed medical insurance? Listen, no tragedies. No sadness. There was no disappointments in the Garden of Eden for them. Totally different. Listen, look at this. There was absolutely no fear, no evil, no enemies, nothing. It was all part of, God's plan. And it was just pretty simple. It was all that the new man and the new woman, Adam and Eve, could do just to handle the beginning. Just those two rules. What happened? What happened to them? What happened? Well, as time progressed, man and woman, with a little help from a, what was it?
Snake.
Old serpent. No dragon, no snake. They broke one simple rule. They ate a piece of that fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, they broke one of God's rules. So what did God do? He hasn't even changed in the way He does things today. When you break one of God's rules, He will do the same thing He did to Adam and Eve. He will intervene. And for Adam and Eve, He removed them from the garden and He put them out because they now knew about evil. It was necessary for the Lord to give them more instructions on how to live because now they knew about evil and the difference of good and evil. Specifically, they needed to learn and have some instruction on how they were to live outside of the garden and how to survive out in that rugged world out there. So the Lord began doing what we might call stacking blocks on top of blocks, like you see here in this picture. With the progression of time, the Lord began placing one piece of information or block of knowledge down with another block and another block and building a foundation and then stacking blocks on top of blocks that you had to have the first block before you could have the second block. And the Lord who created everything, the way you are built and you're made inside of you and every other animal, He began handing us this knowledge in the same way that He created you. One block on top of another. The first block is fairly simple. The last block He gave us is very complex. And the Word of God contains more simple teachings than it does complex. You need to understand that. There are more simple teachings. There are a lot of people out there who are trying to teach the Bible who make it too difficult. When it's just something simple, you don't need to make it difficult. Yes, there's some complex things there. But if you get all the basic stuff where you know it, it's each time you move to another level, it's simple, 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 simple. Well, nothing in God's Word is difficult if you understand all the underlying things that have been given. Now, the purpose of these lessons, this series of lessons that we're doing now, is to provide all children of God with the tools to begin to develop a meaningful relationship. See, that's what's important, is your relationship with God. And to do it with the Lord after you've accepted Him as your Savior. Every new believer in the Lord needs this material. Now it's here. It's not new to me. It's not new for me. Generations upon generations of ministers and people who have studied God's Word know what I'm telling you. Those of us who have been around a long time, we know we use these things, I'm going to tell you, every single day. And we seem to forget because we want you to be where we are. We're a mature Christian, a 40-year Christian, who the first 20 years we wasted and we're babes in Christ because we never, oh, I'm a 20-year Christian. But you're just a babe. You don't know but a half a baby jar's full of meat. Food out of here. But 20 years ago, we began growing in the Lord, and we're a mature Christian now. We go, wow, why didn't they tell us this whenever I was brand spanking new in Christ? That's what we're doing. Instead of leaving you down at the front aisle, we've shaken your hand and said, welcome to the church, welcome to the family. And you stand there going, what do I do now? We're going to give these to you. Every single thing. You need to know these things. And you need to know. And every church is filled with people. There may even not many of you in here because you've been here with me too long. But our church is filled with people who come and their knowledge about God and what He's told them and how to enter into a relationship with them is just still very, very little. And they make the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. And they haven't grown in the Lord because they've never understood the Word of God because they've tried to get into the wrong place. They do things like this because they've seen their parents do it. Lord, I need a word. I'm not reading that one to you. I would have some explaining to do. Mercy. See how dangerous it is? How dangerous. I know I did that one time. I was trying to figure out what we were going to do with the person. And I opened up and said, God, I need a word. This was 20-something years ago. I said, they need a word. I opened up, stuck my finger like that one, except this one was worse than that one. And that one said, take her to the door and stone her. Totally out of context. Fortunately, my right mind came in and said, that's against the law in the United States. And it was out of context. We can't do that. We have to know the story. And all these can be very easily understood if you take your time and you learn the basics of studying the Word of God in the order of its delivery, in the order, from its simple to its complex. And so for that, I actually have provided for you two pictures that represent how His Word is given to humans. You see the first block on the very bottom. See that arrow, big and wide on the bottom. It says beginning, easy. It's wide. And you notice at the top of the point it says scholar, difficult. Well, that represents how the Bible is put together, the Old Testament. You'll want to start at the beginning. In fact, most of y'all can find every answer to every situation that you find yourselves in the book of Genesis. You can find a story there that tells you how you ought to react. But more than that, it also tells you how God's going to react to and what He likes and what He doesn't like. And it's a broad, and there's lots of stories in the book of Genesis going through generation after generation of these people, of Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, and just keep going all the way down through Joseph going into Egypt, being sold into captivity by his brothers into Egypt. And there he goes to be a slave and be put in prison, and he's there from prison for 13 years, and lo and behold, he ends up being second in command of the kingdom. Isn't God good? Because he knew what God liked, and he knew how God, what God favored, and he knew what God wanted him to do and what God didn't want him to do. Well, after you learn those stories, that broad base, just read them several times, then you can go to the book, the books that establish this chosen nation called Israel. Israel, of which a Savior is going to come from. And so you've got the Exodus, and you've got Leviticus, and you've got Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you learn about that. And then on top of that, you can learn about the books, the history of Israel and Joshua, Judges. And these are just stories. They're all just stories about the kings God was in favor of and He helped, and the kings that were sinful, and those that He helped and that He didn't help, and the things that He didn't like and the things He did like. And that spread all the way through these stories. So that there's a situation, there's a story for every single situation that you come across in your life. After that comes these books about the gathered knowledge of Israel. You've got the book of Job, you've got the book of Psalms, the Song of Solomon, the Proverbs, the Ecclesiastes, and also Lamentations. These are great books that tell us how man is reacting back to God because of what God. All the Psalms are this way. The Psalms are all songs of giving praise back to God because of what He's done for them whenever they've either messed up or when they've done something right. They tell us how God reacted, and we find those answers. So it's just more that is there. And finally, we've got the prophet book. Well, okay, so we look in here, and I've got this Bible divided. There's some little blue cards here. I want to get rid of the front pages. I want to get rid of everything. This is the Old Testament. The Old Testament. The easy's in the front. The hard is in the back. Do you see that? It's designed that way on purpose. But the hard books are not hard when you've got all the easy books understood. It's like our erector set. You take it and you put one piece together with another piece on top of each other. And by the time you get over these prophecy books at the end, you go, oh, wait a minute, I know about that because that's over back in here. Oh, I know about that because that's over here. Oh, I know about that because that's right here. Oh, I read about that back in here. It all fits together. For those of you who've been with me as we've gone through the prophecy books, You know how much we referred back to the kings and to 1 and 2 Samuel and even all the way back. All these stories are just coming forth because God laid out for us in simple terms things that we find out over here in the hard part are the foundation for why something's going to happen. Okay, so that's for the Old Testament. Well, there's the New Testament too. Here it is. It's a much shorter New Testament. And by the way, here it is. There's nothing new in the New Testament. I've said that to you many times. Everything we have in the New Testament is over in the Old Testament, just brought forward and added to the same concept, the same thought. And lo and behold, it's exactly the same way. Down on the very base in the beginning, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just stories about Jesus' life. Just stories. Go read them. You can begin at the beginning of the Old Testament or begin at the beginning of the New Testament. I don't care. Sometime you need to begin at the beginning of the other one that you didn't start. If you want to read a first book quick, read Mark, because it's only a few chapters, 13 chapters or so. If you want to read a longer one, read Matthew. If you want to read one longer than that, read Luke. And then lo and behold, read John also. Read one of those books first. And read all of those books first before you really get into the book about the church. Because the last thing Jesus does in all four of those books, those foundation books, the base book, is he establishes the church. And then you read about the church. It's fun to read about the church. You read about all Peter's doing and the establishment of the church, and here comes Paul, and he is a ringtail tutor to begin with. And then lo and behold, the Lord just changes his life on the road to Damascus, and it goes all the way through the development of the church to where it's fully developed and churches are being placed all over the known world. And after that, and then we've got the letters over here written to the church, to those of you who are all disciples who belong to the church. We've got these letters, and you read those. It tells you about things God likes and things God doesn't like, and the things God will judge you for and the things God will not judge you for, the things God will curse you for and the things God will bless you for, even as a disciple. Then the next books that come, you have these letters. We have these letters that are to the Israelites, because the Jews, the God's chosen nation, they're trying to warp what Jesus had completed from the Old Testament to the New and make us go back to some of those restrictions in the Old Testament. And then lo and behold, at the very top, we got that book of Revelation. Prophecy. From the easy stuff down on the bottom to the very difficult stuff at the top. It's laid out exactly like the Old Testament. But really and truly, the New Testament sits on top of the Old Testament stuff. It really does, because it picks up there. And Jesus, even in those books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, refer to things that are in the top books of Isaiah and Daniel and Hosea and Zephaniah that have already been given. It's just been built one thing on top of another. So where should beginners begin in their journey to grow in relationship with the Lord? Where should you begin? At the beginning. That's right. Beginners should always begin at the beginning, where the Lord began as he began. Now in the Old Testament, you should start with Genesis. New Testament, start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, as I said. And once you've got a good handle on those stories, which are in the bottom of those blocks, then those stories in the second block will be much easier for you to understand as you build up on those layers. Well, there are some themes in God's Word. As you read and you start at the beginning, you won't find these themes easily if you start in the middle or you start at the end. The major points of those themes to build upon in your life for the purpose, basically for four purposes. One purpose is this, so that you can grow closer to the Lord. That's what it's all about. Growing closer to the Lord. So that you can learn how He wants us to live, or how He wants you to live, I should actually say, you're going to find His answers for your everyday problems just in these stories. Something's going to come up this week and you're going to say, oh my, I just read about that. Now, it's not exactly the same, but it really is the same. And here's how what God said to do and what God said not to do. And it will lay a foundation for eventually studying the entire Word of God with a full understanding. So, we ask the questions. What are the major themes? You're going to find things about God. Just the big name, God. In these stories, you're going to find things about God the Father. You're also going to find things about God the Son. You say, well, wait a minute. Jesus, He's over in the New Testament. No. You're going to find things out about the theme of God the Holy Spirit, about God's Word, about angels. And folks, angels are as active today as they have always been. You're going to find things, and wait till we get to that lesson. You're going to enjoy it. We're going to find things about man, about humans, of how God made us from the very beginning. You're going to find things out about the theme of sin, about salvation, about the church, and you're going to find some things out about the last things that are going to happen on this earth. Just kernels of little thought that we will point out to you as we go through these lessons. So here's the homework. We want you to get to know God this week. You can read from any version of the Bible you wish. Now, I know some of y'all think that you have to read out of that version of the Bible, that when you open up to the very front page, it says on the front page right there, not on this one, authorized. The authorized version. Pick any Bible you want. That was authorized by a king and not by God. That was authorized by King James. If you like King James, read King James. You're not going to understand much of it because most of our words have changed and you've got some these and thous and all that type of stuff making it difficult. But if you like King James, that's okay. If you like the New King James, use it. Or the NIV, or the, this is an ESV, or the CEV, or the CSV, or the NASB, or the New Living, or the Living Bible, or the Good News for Modern Man. I don't care. Just get a Bible. The interesting thing about all these Bibles is you're reading the stories, and that's what's important, because the intent of God in the entire story, I'm telling you, is more important than one sentence with a number in front of it. Remember, these were all stories, and they did not have what we call chapters and verses until the chapters were put in the Bible in the 1400s A.D., and the verses were put in the 1500s A.D. So that meant in the 1300 A.D., you had to go looking for that specific sentence you wanted to quote to somebody. Because it was just stories back then. And we need to get back to it being just stories. Well, lo and behold, next week, as you see in our book, we're going to talk about God. That's where we started. Remember on that little pyramid that I made there? We're going to talk about, first things God, we're going to talk about just God in general. Let's have a word of prayer and get on with learning about being a disciple by getting to know our Lord and our God this week. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this time that we have just to look at the basics of knowing You. And I pray that everyone that is here will look at these things and begin to bury them in their heart as they read the Bible in a new way, with new understanding, so they can get close to You, so close that they are as near to You as You are to them. And that they never turn their eyes away from You. In Your name, amen.